the Zion of Bible prophecy. For I won't have time to read the prophecies of Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and 51 as I would like, but please turn there with me for a moment, and I'll show you some of the verses which fit Revelation 17 and 18 and the present Red World Power known in part as communism. Verse 1 of Jeremiah 15, the word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Now I'm going to refer to a few verses. You should read all of both chapters. But this is an end-time prophecy, as proven by verse 20 of Jeremiah 15. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. This pardoning of the sins of Israel did not happen when ancient Babylon was destroyed, but the sins of Israel will be forgiven at the time of Jesus' return. So this destruction of Babylon, foretold in Jeremiah 50 and 51, must be the destruction of end-time Babylon, the mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. There are other parallels which also prove that, some of which I will mention. Anyway, for now I want to direct your attention to Jeremiah 50 and verse 16 and also verse 23. First, in verse 8, God's people are told to get out of Babylon. That is repeated in verse 6 of Jeremiah 50, the same command we read in Revelation 18 and verse 4. Then God's people are told to destroy her, and the last of verse 15 reads, take vengeance upon her as she hath done, do unto her. And that is identical to Revelation 18, verses 6 and 7. Then comes verse 16 of Jeremiah 50. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. Then verse 23, the prophet still speaking against Babylon. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? So here in Jeremiah 15, which prophesies the destruction of end-time Babylon, as does Revelation 17 and 18, the two major symbols which identify Babylon are given, the sickle and the hammer. Babylon is here called the hammer of the whole earth, and her activities are called, in verse 16, the handling of the sickle. In Revelation 17 and 18, Mystery Babylon is said to be clothed in scarlet or red. The beast upon which she rides is red. The official color of the communist is red. They call themselves the Reds. And their communist flag is a red flag with a hammer and a sickle upon it. The signs are there. The Bible symbols of end-time Babylon are waving in communist flags from one end of the earth to the other, and still the ministers rattle on about a future Antichrist and future tribulation, while the present Antichrist rules and tribulation is here. But thank God, the end of Babylon does not depend upon those ministers, but upon God. Revelation 17 and 18 are visions of mystery Babylon's end. In fact, the ten horns, or the ten nations mentioned in Revelation 17, will be instrumental in the destruction of Babylon. And as I stated several times, That means those 10 nations must be Israelitish nations, for it is God's people Israel who will destroy the Red Antichrist world power over the nations. Verse 16 of Revelation 17, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore," in other words, they'll hate Mystery Babylon, "and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Let us go on in Revelation 18. We see there it is God's people who are commanded to destroy Red Babylon. Verse 4 of Revelation 18. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." In order for God to call his people out of Babylon, it stands to reason that they must have been in Babylon. And that is why I say, Mystery Babylon has already conquered America. She already rules our rulers, and through them, our people. The obvious anti-Christian attitude of our federal rulers and the continual policies which are destructive to American and Christian interests should make that obvious to most Christians, although I must admit the totally controlled press and the apparently totally controlled churches keep the issue so confused that most Americans do not recognize that Antichrist rule. Verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." This is a statement that the time has come for Babylon to be judged and destroyed. Or as the angel said in verse 3, "Babylon the great is fallen." Verse 6, the command is to God's people, "Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double." Verse 7, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously," or richly, "so much torment and sorrow give her." So God's people are commanded to destroy Babylon, just as we saw they were commanded to do so in Jeremiah 50. In Revelation 17, we saw that the 10 horns, or 10 nations, which gave their power to her, would destroy her. So again I repeat, it is God's Israel people who have been captured by this end-time Babylon, and it is also God's Israel people who will destroy her. The rest of verse 7, "For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." To put it another way, she is so confident of her power that she actually believes she will continue to rule over the earth forever. I believe that is true of the rulers of the earth today. They fear no exposure. They fear no enemy. They are confident that their power is so hidden that their captives and slaves do not even know who rules them. In the human sense, they are right. Although 99% of the American citizens complain of the robbery and the mistreatment of our citizens by our rulers, I doubt if even 1% of them actually realize our rulers are both anti-American and anti-Christian and are really our captors. Put it this way, if an enemy had come into America with uniformed troops, beaten our armies in battle, set up a dictatorship over our nation, and then collected 45% of all of our earnings as tribute each year, our people would know we had been captured and were being plundered. But quietly, secretly, with massive propaganda that the government must do this and the government must solve that, that same enemy has come into America in civilian clothes, captured control of our political parties, bought up our press, bribed our courts, infiltrated our churches, controlled our judges and politicians until they have captured our government, and in the last 50 years have increased tribute on us until they take 45% of all of our earnings, and 95% of our people do not even know a conquest has taken place. So our captors have good reason to say in their heart, "We are safe and shall see no sorrow." God says in verse 8 of Revelation 18, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." In Jeremiah 50 and verse 15, and Jeremiah 51 and verse 11, Babylon's destruction is called the vengeance of the Lord. Revelation 18, verses 9 and 10. "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." This 1 hour of time is open to some speculation. Because of the several different times for prophetic hours, days, and years, it could be one actual hour, or if the day is 1,000 years, then 1/24th of that 1,000 years would be about 41 actual years. In any case, Babylon's destruction would be a very short time compared to the long rule of the Antichrist over the earthly kingdoms beginning in ancient Babylon 2,500 years ago. Now, here is who will bewail Babylon's fall. And notice, it will not be the poor of the earth, only the great men of the earth, those who have been made rich by the abundance of her delicacies, as we read in verse 3. Verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more." And here is their merchandise: the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Notice the order of value in Babylonian economics: gold and silver the most precious and men the least. That last phrase in verse 13, which reads, "and slaves and souls of men," should have been translated, "and bodies and lives of men." And the rulers of the earth have proven how cheaply they hold human life. After the American rulers betrayed South Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia into the hands of the Red Butchers have murdered several millions of people, and the rulers of the other nations do nothing. Cambodia had about 6 million citizens when America pulled out of South Vietnam and turned Southeast Asia over to the Reds. A campaign of murder has gone on in Cambodia that is now admitted even by some who favored the Reds to have killed 1/3 of the population, or 2 million people. By and large, the American press, which will use most of the front page for weeks when one Jew is sent to prison in Russia, has given little coverage to the murder of 2 million Cambodians in the last few years. In Africa, Idi Amin has killed upwards of 300,000 of his own Negro subjects, and yet when Jomo Kenyatta died, Idi Amin sat in the row of mourners right along with kings and rulers of both communist and non-communist nations. Neither the so-called communist nations or the so-called capitalist nations oppose wholesale murder. A few hundred thousand men or a few million people killed is of little concern to either the communists or the capitalists. The Reds have killed upwards of 170 million Chinese in Red China since 1948, but Hong Kong remains a so-called capitalist port. Why? Well, to funnel shiploads of slave-produced goods out of China into the capitalist markets of the world. And now, American, British, and Dutch oil companies are developing huge oil and gas fields inside Red China, and American oil companies are drilling for gas in Siberia. The Reds provide the slaves to do the work, and the capitalists sell the merchandise. Bodies and lives of men are the cheapest commodity in the present Babylonian world order. The cooperation between capitalists and communists is there for all to see, but how few recognize it for what it really is, a bloody alliance for the conquest of the people and the nations of the earth. Did the angel show John world capitalism riding and controlling world communism, the red beast, in the vision of Revelation 17 and Revelation 18? That mystery Babylon is finance capitalism will be made more clear as we go on in Revelation 18. Verse 14, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off, for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." Notice, it is the wealthy men of the earth who will cry over the destruction of Babylon. While American workers, businessmen, and farmers produce goods and services beyond the dreams of the rest of the people of the earth, all benefits seem to accrue to the bankers. The bankers carry a mortgage claim against every worker's house, against every farmer's farm, and against every businessman's building and merchandise. And tribute in the form of interest is paid to the bankers by every producer in the nation. How has all of this happened? How come the few hundred thousand families who own America's banks now own a nation and have a mortgage debt claim upon your children and your grandchildren for generations to come? Debt and interest on debt inexorably transfers all of the wealth of the nation into the hands of the money lenders. God warned our forefathers in Israel that if we refuse to obey His laws, statutes, and judgments, that this would happen. Read it with me in Deuteronomy 28, verses 43 and 44. "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail." King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22 and verse 7, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." This has happened to us as a nation. We are borrowers, and the money lenders have become our masters, and we their servants. The present debt usury system robs the people and enriches the money monopolists. The money controllers rule all nations and fit the description of the Scarlet Woman, Mystery Babylon. Since verse 23 of Revelation 18 tells us that drugs here translated sorceries, will be found to be one of the main methods of controlling the people under Mystery Babylon. In 1976, I tried to warn my radio listeners that the swine flu vaccine was dangerous, would cause paralysis, and even death. My predictions came true. This year, the same government and the same doctors are injecting a so-called Russian flu vaccine into the bloodstreams of millions of our children. Here in Arizona, severe sickness and reactions to the Russian flu vaccine has been such that they have stopped the vaccinations. But apparently, as soon as the parents forget a little, they will renew the vaccine program. Our church teaches that Christians should avoid all such injections of alien substances, as they are unscriptural and extremely destructive to a healthy body. Some medical authorities are now admitting that vaccines, instead of preventing illnesses, may be one of the major causes of disease in America. We know that many people were paralyzed from the swine flu vaccine. Paralysis is caused by nerve damage. Nerve damage means brain damage, and people with damaged brains cannot think or reason right. Revelation 18 and verse 23 tells us that Mystery Babylon the Great uses drugs to deceive the people. Is it possible that millions of American citizens are being deliberately drugged by what is represented to them as medicines? We read through verse 19 of Revelation 18 as the voice from heaven described the destruction of Mystery Babylon and how the rich men of the earth will stand afar off and weep over her destruction. Beginning in verse 15, "And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships, and sailors and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city?" The men of the Protestant Reformation identified this scarlet woman with the Roman Catholic system. They were right, for in their time the Roman Church also controlled the economy and the trade of the nations of Europe. Kings and traders received permission to rule and to trade from the Pope. Excommunication from the Church was enough that a man would not be hired by others of the Catholic Church, nor would they help such a man in any way. Men were often driven to robbery in order to survive, upon which when caught they were executed or imprisoned by the civil authorities. The prophecy in verse 16 and 17 of Revelation 13, that no man could buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, was fulfilled in great degree under the Catholic popes. Today, all nations operate with money and debt controlled by the international bankers, and no man buys or sells except he uses the money and the credit of their beast system. Mystery Babylon still rules as she has ruled for centuries. Now, if you will give me your undivided attention for the next few minutes, I want to read an excerpt from a book about ancient Babylon so that you will see it exactly parallels our present system of money, debt, economics, usury, and so on, which now controls our nation and the other nations of the world. And you'll see the Babylonian religion is similar to what is happening in America today. The title of the book is The Bible as History by Werner Keller. Speaking of the Israelites in captivity in Babylon, apart from a few exceptions, there was no heavy forced labor. Nowhere is there any mention of their having to make bricks by the Euphrates. Yet Babylon ran what was probably the greatest brick-making industry in the world at that time, for never was there so much building going on in Mesopotamia as under Nebuchadnezzar. And then he gives some information as to how the people of Babylon lived. The author goes on to explain that there was a strange transition of the Israelites in Babylon, that they went to Babylon as peasants, settlers, cattle breeders, and tradesmen, and they came out of Babylon as bankers and moneylenders. Of course, the author here is making an error of identification common in the modern world, because he knows that the Jews today are the bankers and the moneylenders, and because he has been told by the religious men of today that the Jews are Israelites, he naturally assumes the Israelites went into Babylon as farmers and craftsmen, but came out as bankers and moneylenders. But that would not fit, nor would it fulfill, prophecy. For it is Israel which is to be in bondage in the end of the age to the banking system of Babylon. It is not Israelites who are to be the bankers and the rulers. Somehow we've got our identification turned around, and we are being told that the Babylonians are Israelites. Chapter 5 of Nehemiah in the Bible verifies that the Israelites who went to Babylon as farmers and craftsmen were still farmers and craftsmen when they came out of Babylon. Turn with me to Nehemiah 5, in the story of the Judahites after they returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. Verse 1, "And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, We, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live." In other words, we are forced to work for them. "Some also there were that said, We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth." What were these Israelites? Well, farmers, keepers of cattle and vineyards, but they had to mortgage their farms to the Jews. Through debt, usury, and foreclosure, the Jews were taking the land from the Israelites from them in Jerusalem and in Judea. Just as the bankers of today foreclose and take farms, homes, and businesses when men have no money to pay their mortgages. If you read on in Nehemiah 5, you will find that Nehemiah required they cancel all debts, return the foreclosed land to the Israelites, and not put them in bondage again. As modern Babylon falls, there will be in America a complete cancellation of all debts and the return of the land to God's people Israel, from whom so much has been taken through debt and usury. No, the bankers and usurers of Nehemiah's day were not Israelites, but descendants of the Babylonians. It was true, as it is today, that they called themselves Jews because they called their religion Judaism. But that no more makes them Israelites than it would anyone from China who would adopt the religion of Judaism and call himself a Jew. God's law requires all debts to be canceled every 7 years. It forbids interest on debts, and every 50 years all lost or foreclosed property is returned to the original owner. Under Babylon's system, debt and usury are perpetual, and as we can see in America, inexorably transfer all land and wealth to the usurer and the moneylender. You can see why God calls the end-time system of rule and oppression over America and the other nations of the world by the name of Babylon. But let's go on, for Babylon has a religion also. Reading again in the book, The Bible as History, on page 338. Quote, "Babylon was not only a commercial metropolis, but a religious one, as can be seen from an inscription, which they've decoded. Altogether, there are in Babylon 53 temples of the chief gods, 55 chapels of Marduk, 300 chapels for the earthly deities, 600 for the heavenly deities, 180 altars for the goddess Ishtar, and they go on and on. This was a very religious society." And then he quotes out of Herodotus, "But the most vicious practice of the Babylonians is the following. Every woman in the country must take her seat in the shrine of Aphrodite and once in her life consort with a stranger. And only when she has been with him and done her service to the goddess is she allowed to go home." End of quote. Does that sound familiar? The religion of Babylon required premarital sex of all of its women. In America today, Premarital sex is promoted, glamorized, recommended, and praised by sources all the way from outright pornographic publications to so-called sex education in the public schools. The movies and the television are in the forefront in leading young girls in America into experimenting with sex before marriage. Our Christian people think of it as sin or just bad morals. Little do they know that the proponents and promoters of premarital sex are really the Babylonians who have invaded this land and who are trying to foist on us all of their filthy religion of ancient Babylon. Part of that religion of Babylon, which is revealed in Haley's Bible Handbook, was the offering as human sacrifices of little babies to be killed by the priests of Baal and offered to their god. Isn't it amazing that the same people in America who promote premarital sex are right there with advice for the unmarried pregnant girl to tell her just where to go and who to see to get her baby killed? Is it possible? We have priests of Babylon in America today who have disguised themselves within the medical profession to carry out the ancient murder rituals right under our noses. And are there other mysterious practices being foisted on our people and on our nation today which fit the system and the religion of ancient Babylon? Yes, my friends, more than you think. Well, my time is about gone, and modern Babylon's rule over America Zion is about gone too, for Babylon is being found out, and God is bringing her into remembrance to give to her the wine of his wrath. Let us read the last verses of Revelation 18, verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. In Jeremiah 51, after Jeremiah writes out Babylon's destruction, he tells his scribe to read it to the inhabitants of Babylon, and then in verse 63 and verse 64, And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. Babylon shall disappear, as does a stone cast into a river or into the sea. Verse 24, And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. The people of the earth shall then see that this present world-ruling power has been responsible for the death of multiplied millions of the saints of the Most High God, and have killed God's prophets, and all that were slain upon the earth. Yes, the present secret world government is as responsible for the death of 2 million Cambodians after the Vietnam War as it was for the 170 million Chinese murdered in China, and the 50 million murdered in Russia, and the unknown millions already killed and to be killed in Africa and in the other nations of the earth. The nations of the world are gathered together for Armageddon, the last great battle in which Babylon will be destroyed, and the world released from her filthy and corrupt rule. And the men behind the scenes, the hidden ones, the ones who control the world from the plush offices in the great cities of the world, will be exposed and destroyed when Babylon shall be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. So when this end-time mystery Babylon is destroyed, then the people of the earth will see that she was the cause of the slaying of all the righteous that were slain upon the earth. Now turn back to Matthew 23. And we find Jesus talking about who? Well, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So Jesus is going to be talking about the scribes and Pharisees, and he says what? They sit in Moses' seat. Moses was the civil ruler. In Revelation 17 and verse 18, we read of Mystery Babylon, that woman is that city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So Mystery Babylon is the ruler of all the nations. Jesus says of the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. They sit in the seat of rulership, because Moses was the ruler over the house of Israel. He goes on about the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. What do? You do the same thing that John saw Mystery Babylon did in vision. You kill Christian people. Verse 31. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. You're the descendants of the people in ancient Israel who lived among the Israelites but killed the righteous preachers and prophets in Israel. Verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. We have a sermon showing the difference between the people who were the children of them which killed the prophets and then the other people who were the children of the prophets. Again, showing the difference between the Jewish Pharisees and the true Israelites. Verse 35. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now some people have erred by saying that that generation is a span of time, but it's not. It is a Greek word meaning origin or race. It could have been translated, all these things shall come upon this race. So Jesus Christ said that sometime in the end of the age, the people will realize that this race, which springs from the Jewish Pharisees, are the ones who are the cause of the shedding of all the righteous blood upon the earth. In the Revelation 17 and 18, we find it was Mystery Babylon in which that will be found. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. What does that mean? That means that Mystery Babylon was a vision of the Jewish Pharisees. They are the same thing. They are the people who kill the saints. Hebrews 2, Paul is writing to the Israelites of Jesus. Verse 9 he says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. This was Jesus' purpose, to die, that the sinner might not have to die eternally. Verse 14, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So here Jesus says, it is the devil who has the power of death. In Revelation 18, we found it was Mystery Babylon, which was the cause of the death of all the righteous. In Matthew 23, we find it was the Jewish Pharisees. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. The Jewish Pharisees must be the same as Mystery Babylon. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians. Speaking of the man of sin again, in chapter 2, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now in Webster's dictionary it says that if you worship something, it does not necessarily have to be a god. It is anything to which you pay reverence and respect. And I say this, that Christendom and the United States of America has by her preachers literally been brought to a point of worshiping the Antichrist Jew. Now this fantastic thing in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul wrote and said the man of sin would sit in the temple of God and be worshipped as God. The temple of God is your heart and mind. The temple of God is also the Israel people as such. God's sanctuary is Zion, the place where Israel lives. And over we find the clergy in America today literally bringing our people to their knees before the Antichrist Jew. Here is Dr. Jack Van Impe. He was in Florida at the same time we were at a large Baptist church. The night was called Jewish Appreciation Night. That's what he was preaching on. Here is a letter from Rex Humbard, Akron, Ohio. A lady from Arizona wrote to him and sent him our copy of the broadcaster on the 13th tribe, which points out that the Jews are not Israelites, but are Khazars and Huns and Mongols and Gog and Magog. And here's what he says. He says her name, and then he says, there has been much written about the Jews as a nation. The biblical guideline I use for my relationship with the Jewish people, however, is given in Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In other words, he will never say or do anything against the Jews because he wants to be blessed. Well, now you're blessed when you worship God, right? And you're blessed when you worship the God of Israel and do good to God's Israel people. We write and prove to these people the Jews are not Israel. They still turn around and they will never say anything against the Jew. They have only praise for them. Some of you recall Jimmy Swaggart, or you know who he is, during the oil crisis in 1973, I believe it was. Jimmy Swaggart changed the whole format of his radio program and told his listeners that the eternal destiny of America depended on our being on the side of the Jews. We had to do everything to help the Jews, otherwise our nation would be destroyed. What is that? That obviously is worship. Turn back to Obadiah. This entire prophecy is on the destruction of Esau, Edom, whom we know today as the Jews. In verse 18 it says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau, or Edom, or the Reds, or Mystery Babylon, or the man of sin, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them, and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. We see that Esau, Edom, is going to be destroyed at the end of the age, and of course we read in 2 Thessalonians that the man of sin will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Then will be fulfilled God's words to Zion in Micah 4 and verse 10, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, there shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. And verse 13, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Thank God, Mystery Babylon's economic, political, and propaganda control of the earth will end, for it is written in God's Word. This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.